Hey, everybody. This is Jean Tien, host of the Being Unapologetically Authentic. And today I am so excited to have Vince Kramer on as my guest. Vince is the co-creator of Imagine Miracles and Imagination Miracles. Vince originally conceived Imagine Miracles in 2007 to help people create a life of happiness, health, and wealth. Through realized that more personal discovery and development at the time was required. And so he tabled Imagine Miracles to discover himself and started a retreat center with his wife, Mary, to bring like-minded people together to share and experience different modalities of spiritual growth. And this eventually led to a Phoenix of the Rising new corporation that went into effect in 2013. And so, Vince, thank you so much for joining me today. And I can't wait to get started with our conversation. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Jean. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk to the audience and share a little bit about what you just shared in that bio.
Yes. So let's start with the basics. Tell us who you are and how you came across this journey of personal wellness and health and all the good stuff.
Well, Jean, it's a very interesting story. It actually started way back when I was 5 years old, and I'm 63 now. At 5 years old, I knew that I was supposed to help people love themselves so they could love each other. And I told my grandmother that. And then I went on about a 45-year hiatus on remembering that, as I forgot because of being taught what it meant to be a man by my grandfather and some of the other influential men in my life. And on that journey, I know now that I was developing a lot of my talents and gifts to show up more authentically in the world and to share this message of transformation, message of each and every one of us is uniquely special and is needed in this world to live what we call at Imagine Miracles, our divine intent. So on that journey, there was some big wake-up calls for me. 9/11 was a huge wake-up. I'm a retired United Airline pilot now, but at one time I actually flew the flight that crashed in Pennsylvania 1 week before the 9/11 incidents.
Wow.
Grandfather taught me well. I kind of blew that off. It could never happen to me. Then another wake up when United Airlines went bankrupt, and I listened well there too, and it was so important for me to support my family, to build a retirement, that I kind of blew that wake-up call off. And then about 3 years after that, my current wife at the time came home and said that she was no longer happy. She wanted a divorce, caught me by surprise, and that really got me looking for what was missing in my life. And it took me back to that little five-year-old saying, I want people to love themselves so they can love each other. And that's when my journey in Imagine Miracles really started to grow into what it is.
So share with us, I mean, that's, you know, at 5 years old, most people aren't focused on helping others. So share with me or in the community, if you don't mind, in terms of how did that realization come to you? How did that awareness come to you?
At 5 years old or later?
Oh, at 5 years old.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Jean. I think we all remember the reason that we come to this earth. And it just takes us different lengths of time to forget because of the rules of society, the rules of our family, how everybody tells us that we need to show up in the world to be successful or to be accepted. So I know people who carried that message all through their life and other people that don't remember it at all. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have remembered it if my grandmother on her deathbed when I was 17 years old brought me into her room about 10 minutes before she died and reminded me that I told her that. So I wouldn't have remembered that I knew that if she wouldn't have brought me in her room when she was dying.
Wow, that is really powerful, and it's and you know, and it makes me wonder, like, what did she know at that time to call you in and to remind you of the promise that you had made 12 years before that, right, when you were only 5 years old? And there's just so much in terms of what you shared with us in terms of your story as well. And this is like the crux. And I love what you shared so far, because it really, you've touched on the crux of why I wanted to start this podcast, which is to really look at authenticity, to look at what it means to us as individuals and us as a community. And one thing that you had said was, you know, this at 5 years old, I knew I was going to do this, but then you were molded by your grandfather, who had different ideas of how it was that you should behave, or what a man, right? What how to define what a man is and to grow into. And so can you go into that a little bit more in terms of how did that experience shape you? And how did that lead you? I don't want to say astray, but I want to say like slightly astray, although I think it's still part of your broader purpose. So it's not like totally off track.
Oh, exactly. First, I want to share, because you ask how, what my grandmother knew at the time. I think we all get to a point in our lives just before we're ready to pass, we're ready to transition to whatever stage we're going to transition in. And we know that there's more, and we know that we could have shown up a little bit different. And I think in her realizing she wished she would have showed up a little bit different, she wanted to make sure that I didn't forget, so I showed up the way I was supposed to. So I think that's what my grandmother knew at the time.
Yes. And there's no, what is that cliche that comes? I am the worst when it comes to cliche, because I butcher it up entirely. And I say the like the most wrong things when it comes to it. But there's that cliche that's something with regards to regret at the deathbed. Like there's nothing heavier than regret at the deathbed or something like that, right? And so I think it's so powerful that she pulled you in to remind you of your true self, of who you are at the core, so that you don't have to go onto your deathbed with the same level of regret.
Exactly, exactly. So to answer your question about my grandfather and my rearing, if you will, you know, at the time it was very painful for me. My grandfather taught me that I needed to compete. I needed to be the best. Nothing was ever good enough. I remember going home with an all-A gray card and a big write-up in the newspaper for my baseball game the night before. And all my grandfather told me is, or shared with me, is that what I could have done even better, or what I could have done different. So I spent a lot of my childhood between three influential men trying to gain their love, to gain their respect. But you know, as a child, like I said, it was painful. But when I started doing the work that Mary and I are doing through Imagine Miracles, and really starting to look back at our lives and what we created in our lives that helped bring more of us to the surface to help us develop our gifts and talents, I can look back now on my childhood and see that if it wasn't for my grandfather and the pushing that he did and the experiences that I had, I wouldn't be able to, one, relate to people who are our clients, but two, I never would have developed a lot of the gifts and talents that I needed to show up to help people love themselves, to help them discover that they can tap into their guidance, discover what their unique purpose is, the three parts of their purpose that they brought into this world at birth and forgot just like I did. But now with my experience and my understanding, I can, one, help them recall what they brought in to do in this world, the difference they were meant to make, but then also to help them find how they became everything they needed to be to live that difference through the experiences they have had in their life.
And that is honestly one of the most powerful tools that we can give to other people in this lifetime in terms of showing them how to achieve their greatest potential, right? Allowing them to reconnect with themselves. And one thing I think is so key too is that it's never a discovery of who you are. It's always a rediscovery because, you know, like your five-year-old self, you rediscovered who you are in terms of when you were 17 and then later on and reconnecting, et cetera. And so one of the things that I wanted to touch on with you is, you know, you mentioned that there is this internal guidance that we all have within us. And I think in this day and age where the noise is just so strong, right, in outside of us right now, no matter what side you're on, and really, quite frankly, the fact that we have sides is creating a lot of the noise in and of itself. And I think this could be, you know, relevant to many different things that are happening in the environment around us. What are the key, I guess, tools, or what is it that people need to be able to do in order to tap into, like, first of all, what is this answer inside of us? Because we hear it often. And then number two, what are the tools that one can use in order to tap into that? Can you give us a couple of, you know, good tools that people can start to use so that they can start to, you know, get, I guess, retrain their mind to look for answers within instead of externally?
Of course I can, and I would love to share with the audience. First of all, we never lose the complete knowingness of why we decided to come to Earth and the difference that we're meant to make. That's what we call, as I said, your unique purpose. It's always there, but because of the energetics, because of society the way it is, because of people and who they are right now, that forgetting happens. And the answer is that, one, we have to listen to these messages that show up that tells us it's time to wake up. And we get them all the time. We call the first set of messages that we usually get conscious wake-up calls. There's those wake ups that, you know, there's something missing in my life, or I know I'm supposed to give back more, or I'm really happy when I do this. Those are all conscious wake ups to tell us that, hey, we're not quite living the life that we chose when we came in, and it's time to wake up to it. But what happens is, we've been taught to look past those so many times because, like you said, there's so much noise out there, Gene. Just looking at politics and looking at the different ways people treat each other is enough noise to not listen to those conscious wake-up calls. And then that's when the crisis one comes. A crisis wake-up call could be an illness. I personally believe that COVID is a huge crisis wake-up call for our whole world to start treating each other different, to start treating ourselves different, and to grow and expand. And once we can see it as a wake-up call, I think it'll be easier to move beyond it. But we're constantly creating that. There's a physical part of us in this 3D world. It's a kind of our spacesuit here that we're walking around the Earth in. But there's also a part of us that's non-physical. It's at a higher vibration. It's connected to all the answers. It's connected to our way of life and our way of growing. And those are the messages that we've got to pay attention to. And they can come in so many different ways because we've been taught not to listen to that guidance when it comes in a very direct way. So we get promptings like somebody might say something, and we start following their way of believing or thinking, and that takes us down a path. Or we have this understanding that this is what makes me happy, so I'm going to start going down that direction. And we start paying attention to the promptings at that level. But when we can connect to our guidance in a way that we can ask the question, we can get the answer, and we know that it's time for us to take action on it, that's when things really open up for us to start living that difference that we're meant to make, to solve the problems that we're meant to solve.
And Can you share with us too, Vince, in terms of what the, because you trademarked a lot of the tools that you have, which I think is amazing, right? Because it really is something that's not widely available out there. So how did you come to create this proprietary tool that you have? And then also, you know, I guess, how has it helped you in your personal life in terms of the results that you've seen from it? And also what has, how has that helped your clients? Like the results that they have seen in terms of looking for answers within, like, have they seen more confidence or more joyful living? Like what are the results that they have experienced?
Well, what a great question, Jean, and very insightful to notice that, you know, there's stuff that can really open us up to so much more. I'll share with you, and it might be a little bit different for your audience, but it happened about 50 years old where I had an opportunity to tap into my guidance, get my answers, open myself up to allowing more information to come in through a channeling. And it was something I didn't believe in. It was something that I thought was, you know, witchcraft, voodoo, woodoo. But there were some things that happened that I had to pay attention. It wasn't voodoo, woodoo. I had to realize that. And in that experience, I started getting information in a more fluid way on things that needed to be done, things that needed to be learned, why we were acting the way we do, and how to move past that. So I started taking all this information that was coming to me and living my life. So I had to do my work. I had to look at where my ego personalities were running my life, where my belief system was holding me back, where I was being a victim and not realizing that what was happening in my life, I was creating, but I was blaming it on other things or other people, things on the outside. And because I was giving the things on the outside my power, I didn't have enough power to step into who I was. Mm-hmm. And part of that journey was to learn that our purpose isn't just our why. Our purpose is more than that. It's the mm-hmm. who, what, and why of who we are. Mm-hmm. And we have to discover that who and what before we can understand how we're here to accomplish the why. So right. The first that came to me was the five questions to ask to uncover and live your unique purpose. And we call it the Your Unique Purpose Formula. But after you know your purpose, There's you're still living in this 3D world. There's still things, roadblocks that we've built along our lifetime that hold us back. Our doubts, our belief that we're not worthy, believing that the voices in our head are the voices of reason instead of realizing that it's just that connection to our knowingness is that's the voice of reason. And the rest of those voices are subpersonalities that we developed along the way to hold us back. Right. So I developed what I call the Create model to truly help us create that life that we discovered when we uncovered it in our Your Unique Purpose. So those are two of the three priority products that we developed in ways to move through life. And what it did for me was, first of all, it opened me up to see that everything that happened in my life was on purpose. Everything that was created that I thought was the worst thing that could happen in the world had the biggest gift. And when I started looking at what all those gifts were and all those talents were, I could see that, oh, they were all coming together to help me live this why. And then I noticed I had been living my why the whole time. So when we put the programs together and start sharing it after I did my work, because I don't agree with anybody standing on stage telling somebody or being on a Zoom live cast, sharing with somebody what they need to do to open up to their authenticity if you haven't found your own authenticity. So in finding my own, then I was able to bring the programs to the people that we work with. And so many things have changed. First of all, just the confidence and understanding of my life was on purpose, and that everything happened was truly for a reason, and be able to see the reason. Now our clients are able to look at their past and actually change the way they look at it, which changed their past, changed their present, and is definitely going to change their future. Their relationships have gotten better because they've started to realize that we've got voices inside of us that are trying to protect us all the time. And sometimes those voices start fighting amongst each other, which causes some of the biggest feuds at holiday tables when families get together. And so their relationships improved. They've started to bring more of their talents to the world in a way that is making the difference that they're meant to make. One of my clients found that her divine intent, her mission in the world, was to help bring hearts and minds together. And she had been a professor at a major university for numbers of years and always thought like she wasn't doing enough for the world. She wasn't making a big enough difference. She wasn't living her why, and she wanted to find that purpose. She wanted to find that why. When she uncovered that her mission was to bring hearts and minds together, her curriculum changed. The way she delivered to her students changed. And now she's one of the most loved professors at the university because she's helping these young minds and young hearts come together in a way that they can start living their difference. So that's just one example, Jean.
That's so powerful. I mean, these are all such powerful examples of what can happen when somebody understands how the challenges in their lives or how the different pieces of their lives, right, whether good or bad, but I think we as humans tend to focus on the bad, but how they all fit together to be created for our advantage rather than, you know, thinking or believing that we are the exception to the rule of good things come to good people. And so these are such powerful examples that you've shared with us. The one thing I actually, if you don't mind, Vince, if I can ask, because, you know, in the world that you and your wife are in with regards to spirituality, it's something that we don't see a lot of men in, right? And we absolutely, and what you mentioned before, I think, is in terms of the concept of what channeling is, right? Woo-woo, witchcraft, whatever. I think that's a very common, I call it a misconception or a belief, right? Of men before they start to have their own experiences with it. So how did you start channeling? How did you start to accept that there is another aspect or another area of our lives where we can communicate, but without using the words that you and I are currently using?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. First of all, when I said that I was getting all this information in after this channeling that I went to, I'm not lying. Every night I would be awakened with information that came in, ways to look at beliefs, why we believed the way we did, what it really truly meant to be in the present moment. All this information kept coming in, and I'd wake up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and be awake for a couple hours, and I would get this information. I would take notes the best that I could, you know, not the best note taking in the dark. So I'd have to hear the information over and over again. And as I shared earlier, I was an airline pilot. And after about a year and a half of that, Mary came to me and said, "Vince, you can't be up from 2 to 3 in the morning or 2 to 5 in the morning and then go fly airplanes later in the day. It's not safe for you and it's not safe for other people. We've got to find a way for this information to come in at different times. So you're getting your rest." And, you know, I knew what she was hinting at. I knew she was hinting at that maybe I could let the information come through in a different way, try to channel myself. But, you know, I felt like, who am I to be able to let this high level, this high frequency of information come in through me? And then, well, what if somebody judged me because this was happening? So it took me a while, took me about a year for me to finally say, okay, Mary, I'll do it. I will try to channel. And because Mary and I are both certified hypnotists, and because I had taken a pretty extensive course on how to do self-hypnosis, because it helped me get in that brainwave state to meditate really well. What happened was I was able to use some of those techniques to get out of the way and then just let this information come through.
Wow. That's really cool. And that is very cool. And yeah, it's sometimes I think we all can read energy. It's just how much of it we allow ourselves to come through. And it's so amazing that you can use your hypnotherapy tools to be able to support that function. And it's interesting too, because I think one of the common themes that I've been hearing through this conversation, Vince, is that throughout your life, every single, and you know, what you've recognized is that every little thing that has happened has really come through because of your overall purpose, right? And I actually, on another guest recording, the same theme had come through as well in my discussion with her too, that all of the events in her life also led her to a greater purpose of serving others. And she's found a lot of success in that. And you have definitely found a lot of success in your life of serving others as well. And so one of the things that I think is a big misconception, and it's something that I had when I was trying to figure out what my purpose was, is that purpose sometimes sounds like, so if it has to be a Gandhi purpose or a MLK Jr. purpose, you know, it has to be a big purpose, right? But I think what people, and I think then people fail to see the little things that happen every day that contribute to our purpose. And it's almost like there's a purpose at the time and that leads to a greater purpose for our lives. And, you know, would you agree with that? How have you seen that happen for yourselves besides the events that have led up to your current career and business today?
Well, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when we are able to sit down with someone and first of all, like you said, that channeling in the way that the channeling comes through me is a gift for me to share with the world, because I am able to get out of the way so much. But we teach people in our basic program four different ways to get their answers where there's no doubt that they're tapped into their guidance. They're tapped into that higher vibrational frequency of themselves and the higher vibrational frequencies of their energy stream. So we, as you said, we all can do that. And it's so important because we need to find our answers. I can teach you how to be an amazing Vince. And I can even teach you how to be an amazing Mary. But for me to teach you or to work with you to be the most amazing Jean, we have to get your answers. We have to tap into your higher vibrational self and understand what the purpose is and how you're supposed to show up. So I wanted to throw that on top of it as we start looking at purpose now in your question. First of all, yes, I agree with you 100% that our purpose expands. I don't think our purpose truly changes. It expands as we become more capable of sharing it in more and more ways. So if your purpose is to bring hearts and minds together, I believe that you're living that purpose your entire life. And I've proven it in our classroom. When we teach people to uncover those answers that give them their divine intent, once they find it and once they're comfortable with it, I have an exercise that then I sit down with them I have them close their eyes and we walk through the different jobs they've had in life. We walk through some of the different relationships in life. And I help them find where they actually had been living that purpose in those relationships and in those other jobs. So that really brings a confidence level to people then when they know that, oh, I have been living it, but now I know so much more. I can live it in a different way, in a more expanded way.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that can definitely be, that is a definite confidence booster. And I think it takes away almost the imposter syndrome aspect that so many of us can get caught up in as well, especially when doing something that isn't what we've been trained to do for all of our lives. We are coming up at pretty much the half hour. I'd love to, you know, you have such a powerful program, Vince. How do people find you? How do they work with you? And please tell our audience so that they can get in touch with you.
Certainly, I would love to. First of all, you can go to our website. We got a brand new page out right now. It's called the Miracle Life Method, all one word, miraclelifemethod.com. You can go to that page. That'll get you started in understanding what Imagine Miracles is about and the programs that I talked to you about. You can also go to imaginemiracles.com and learn how you can get a channeling one-on-one, or you'll also learn how you can sign up for our monthly free channeling where we bring in the round table. That's the group of energies that that's what they call themselves, very similar to Abraham of Abraham Hicks. And there's a, you know, about a 15-minute intro, and then they answer questions for a little over an hour. So you can find out that information. And then, of course, Imagine Miracles on Facebook is a really great place to find us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Vince, for being on the show. And for those of you who are listening and who are tuning in and would like to work and learn more about Imagine Miracles and work with Vince and Mary and see what they're all about, all of the links will be available in the show notes. So please don't hesitate to reach out to Vince for more information. And again, Vince, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you have liked this episode, if you think that there are others in your life who can use this information, who can learn a channel and support themselves and learn how to tap into their own intuition for the answers that will help them grow and expand, then please like, share, and follow this podcast so that we can continue to spread the good word, continue to empower others to find the life, a purposeful life that they deserve, and really start to live life differently. And again, thank you, Vince, for being on the show. All right.